But the emphasis is that to come out out of an awareness and realization, as the Rav pointed out, that our children are our most precious commodity. And that especially in these times that we live in now, it's especially important to know how to deal with, how to approach the chinuch of our children. I would like to first discuss in general, chinuch in general, and especially as it is, as it has to be practiced in our times. And then perhaps we'll move on to some topics, more specific topics, and some of the current issues that have to be dealt with. Dalta Rebbe Nigeres HaKedesh. Dalta Rebbe Nigeres HaKedesh writes a letter to the Chassidim in which he asks of them that they not be like Goyim. Alter Rebbe writes to the Chassidim that they should not be like Goyim. And he says, what do Goyim do? He said, Goyim, they support their wives and children because they love them. That's what Goyim do. And Alter Rebbe asked that the Chassidim should not be like Goyim. Because the motivation of the guy is purely selfish. It's his wife, it's his children, he cares about them, he loves them, and that's why he provides for them. Alter Rebbe says that if one behaves like this, not only is one behaving like a guy, but he's denying by going out to work to support one's wife and children because one loves them, one is denying what they say when they put their hands over their eyes and say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Well, the Rebbe says that this is a denial of the statement, Hashem Echad. Because if it's true that Hashem Echad, as Chassidus explains, that nothing else exists except for Hashem, so what does it mean that a person is involved in an activity, in a pursuit, that has any other motivation except for Hashem? So the Alter Rebbe says, so why should one support one's wife and children? The Alter Rebbe says, only because the Eivish to set up the world, that he gave us opportunities to do kindnesses to Chelke Eleka Mimal, to parts of himself. He took parts of himself and he put them in each and every Jew, and he gave us the opportunity to do chesed, to do kindness to those parts. The question is, there are many Jews in the world. There are many parts of God. So which parts of God should I devote my energies into doing kindness to? So on that, the Shulchan Aruch, the Eibishter gives us an order in which there are so many parts of God out there. The question is, so many chelke aleka mimal mamash. The question is, where should I devote my energies? So it is an order that the aniyim of your own family come first, and then the aniyim of your city, then the aniyim of your then the rest of the aniyim in the world. So the Alter Rebbe says that the only reason why a person should have for supporting his wife and children is because he was put onto this world to do a kindnesses to chelke aleka mimal mamash. And it says in Shulchan Aruch that which chelke aleka mimal mamash should he provide for first? It says his family. And that's why he does it. Now the Rebbe says, if you have any other motivation, the motivation is, even though he's not negating that a person should have these feelings, you can have these feelings in the context of love for parts of Hashem. But if your motivation is your natural feelings for your family, the Alter Rebbe says this is the way of life of the non-Jew, and it is a denial of the basic truth that Hashem Echad. So Hasidus teaches us, I mean, before, from the earliest, from the Alter Rebbe, before we even get into the unique approach of the Rebbe, Melech HaMashiach, the basic hanocha, the basic foundation assumption on which one approaches the whole area of chinuch is that we have been given the responsibility to develop chelkei Elokei mimal mamash, to develop parts of Hashem so that they should be what Hashem intended, what Hashem had in mind when He sent them down into this world. So the first thing, the first mistake, and most common mistake that we find in the area of chinuch, is that people approach chinuch as, these are my children, and therefore, since they're my children, therefore I will educate them and train them in my image. So I'm modern, so I want my children to be like me, so I'll raise my children to be modern. I have this particular characteristic or that particular characteristic, or I have this interest or that interest, and therefore, since they're my children, I want them to be like me, so I will make them over in my image. And since I'm a guy who goes to work for a living, so therefore I'll raise my children to worry about going to work for a living. Well, because I'm a person that lives my life this way, I don't want my children to be different than me, so therefore I'm going to train my children in my lifestyle. That might be an approach if they were your children. They're not. They're chelkei Elokei mimal mamash, with a very special mission in this world. They're not yours to do with as you wish. They're part of your job, they're part of your mission. A mission not only to see to it that you yourself are the way Hashem wants you to be, but that these other chelkei Elokei mimal mamash who have to deal with their own guf and nefesh habehamis should be the way the Eibishter wants them to be. And therefore, the model for chinuch is not yourself, and it's not the home you came from. The model for chinuch has to be, what does Torah say? If they're parts of Hashem, and they belong to Hashem, and Hashem sent them here, the only reason He gave them to me is because He wants me to do the job of developing them in the way that He wants. So I have to turn to Him and say, how do you want my children to be? Not how do I want my children to be. How do you want my children to be? If they are a mission, if they're my obligation to prepare them to be the way you want them, you have to tell me, how do you want my children to be? And just like in every other area of Torah, there are constantly new developments. Even though everything was given at Matan Torah, but there are constantly new developments, new insights, new revelations in Torah being revealed. So too, in the area of chinuch, in the area of being mechanech children, there are constantly new developments and new insights and new revelations. And being that in the times that we live in are the times in which the Rebbe has proclaimed Higiyas Man Geulascha, so it is self understood that there are many chidushim and chinuch that in each generation we have to develop our children to be the way the Eibishter wants at any particular time, using the tools that we're given at that time. And if the time that we're living in now is a time of Yigiyas Man Geulaschem, then Chinuch has to be in a way living with that reality. As the Rebbe says, our Avoda today is to live with the reality of Geula, and certainly this has to affect Chinuch of our children. And this is true not only in a general way, but the Rebbe specifically addressed the topic of Chinuch of our children in these times that we're living in now. In general, we know that the Rambam taught that the way to raise children is you work with the assumption that children by their very nature are not interested in doing the right thing. And they have to be taught to do the right thing. So the Rambam says, how do you teach children to do the right thing? The Rambam says, you bribe them. You buy them off. So when they're very little, you give them bribes, which are rewards and punishments which they can understand. And as they get older, the Rambam says, you start off with little children, you give them nuts and candies, they get a little older, you get them clothes, you get a little older, you get them money, you give them the things that they relate to and the things that they want. What's the idea? The idea is that hopefully, after years and years of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs for all the wrong reasons, but since they get into the habit of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, the idea is, the hope is that at some point they will come to develop an appreciation of the Torah and mitzvahs themselves. Really, at the beginning, they're not interested in Torah and mitzvahs. They're interested in candies. And Torah and mitzvahs is only an inconvenience that you have to get through in order to get your candy. But the idea is that ultimately they should reach a point where after living a life immersed in Torah and mitzvahs, they'll develop as they get older and their minds develop and their emotional capacity develops, they'll develop an appreciation for the Torah and the mitzvahs, they'll develop a love for Hashem, not just a fear of not just for reward or fear of retribution. That's the Rambam's basic guidelines to how to raise children. The Rebbe in a sicha said almost 30 years ago, says that that Rambam no longer applies. That approach to chinuch is no longer valid. And the Rebbe explains why. The Rebbe works with a story of the Rebbe Rashab, in which he was a young boy, and age 4 or 5, and he had just learned in Cheder about Vayera, that Hashem appeared to Avraham, and he came to his grandfather Tzemach Tzedek crying, how come Hashem doesn't show himself to me? And Tzemach Tzedek answered him, that a tzaddik of 99 years who comes to the realization, either a person or a tzaddik of 99 years who comes to the realization that he still has to bemal himself, he still has to correct himself, he deserves that Hashem should reveal himself to him. The Rebbe says that we have to learn from the question. Besides having to learn from the answer, the story is not only about the Tzemach Tzedek's answer, the story is about the Rebbe Rashab. And the Rebbe Rashab told it over to the Friedrich Rebbe, who told it over to us. If it was only Negea to know the answer, he would have told us the question with the answer. Why do you have to tell us the story that he cried? So the Rebbe answers that even though we're talking about a tzaddik, and a tzaddik is unique, that they are outstanding even in their earliest childhood, the Rebbe says, still in all, if the story was told to us, clearly it's a lesson for all of us. So what do we see from the story of the Rebbe Rashab's crying? We see that the Rebbe Rashab, as a child who was of the age that Chazal referred to as before reaching the age of Chinuch, that the Rebbe Rashab as a child cried that he wants, how come he can't see Getlichkeit? That his desire for Getlichkeit is so powerful and so overwhelming that it caused him to cry. His desire to see godliness, so the Rebbe says, and the reason why this story was revealed, because today's day and age, you can arouse in a child such an intense desire to see godliness that it should outweigh any other desires. That it should become his primary motivation in life to see Getlichkeit, to see godliness. The Rebbe says, how does this fit with the Rambam? That the Rambam said that children do not have, are not naturally, we do not have the power to arouse and inspire our children at such young ages. They first have to go through this process of bribing them, paying them off, until they get older. So the Rebbe says that Rambam is no longer applicable, because the Rambam was talking before the Maisa of the Rebbe Rashab. But once the Maisa of the Rebbe Rashab took place, so now every Jewish child, whether he's a child in years or a child in the fact that he never received a Jewish education, the Rebbe says every Jewish child can be aroused to such an intense desire to see godliness revealed that should be his main motivation. And here also the Rebbe says a very powerful statement, which is not commonly found in the Sikhas, such strong statements. The Rebbe said as follows, that if you see any children that are not this way, if you look around you and you see children that are not like this, so the Rebbe said you should know it's not the fault of the children, it's the fault of their parents and educators. If you see a child today who's motivated by other things than seeing Getlichkeit, godliness revealed, it's not the child's fault. The Rebbe said this in the early Lamids. It's not the child's fault. It's the fault of the parents and the educators. Which means, that the Rebbe is telling us that there has to be a major change in how we approach Chinuch, and that looking at the models of the earlier generations are no help. Because even the Rambam, and the Rambam is not only the Pirush HaMishnayos, but also in the Mishneh Torah and the Yad HaChazokah, things which the Rambam paskened halacha lemaisa, the Rebbe says, are no longer relevant. Not because Chas V'Shalom halacha changes. Chas V'Shalom, Torah is nitzchi, Torah is eternal, but because the reality changed. There's no question that when it says that La'asid Lavai, that no person will have to teach another person, because all will know me from the smallest to the greatest. So there's no question that the Rambam will no longer be relevant, but not because the Torah changed, Chas V'Shalom, but because the reality changed, because Kulam Yedu Esi, because everyone sees Getlichkeit. The Rambam says that the reason why you have to be mechanech to children is because they don't have das. But La'asid Lavai, when Mashiach comes and Kulam Yedu Esi, so you will no longer have to go through the Rambam's prescription for chinuch. So the Rebbe is saying that today we're living in a time where the Rambam's prescription for chinuch is no longer viable. So looking to the past, looking to the traditional sources is no help, because they're discussing a different reality. What they are saying is true because it's Torah. But it's true for a different reality. It's not true for our reality. It's not true for our children. Which is why, if anybody's paying attention, they will notice a very interesting thing. That reward and punishment doesn't work anymore. Now, it's true that you do get some short-term results with reward and punishment. But they're short-term. And you have to constantly escalate. Today, by the time a child reaches the early teens, there's very little you could buy them off with. They've had it all. There's very little. You have to keep raising, upping the ante, and the punishments are even less effective. Doesn't work anymore. If we don't inspire our children, and if the Eibishter doesn't interfere and they find some other source of inspiration outside the home, then we're in big trouble. The fact is that anybody who's been involved in any activities with little children outside of the community, through activities with Tzivos Hashem and the like, in which they deal with children who are not yet from, they discover an amazing thing. You can go to children, you can go to a public school, and you can gather children that have everything in the world. They have money, they have games, they have toys, they have computers, they have the movies, they have the television, they have everything. All the tivus, anything that a child could want, they have their music, they have everything. You can go to these children, and you show them how to bake a matzah, you show them how to make olive oil, you say with them some psukim, you tell them a story of tzaddikim, you tell them about Mashiach, and an amazing thing happens. These children become tremendously excited. You would think that these children are totally burnt out. They're overstimulated. They're walking zombies. And yet, you see that when you offer them some Gettlichkeit, when you offer them some Yiddishkeit, they become extremely excited. To the point that in many places around the world, those shluchim who push their energies primarily into reaching the young children, they not only get the children, but they get the parents through the children. That the children reach such a level of excitement that they not only change their own lives, but they change the lives of their parents. Which is something that was unheard of in our earlier history. There was no such concept that young children should reach a level without parents instructing them and patching them and screaming at them. That they should come to Yiddishkeit on their own and get so excited about it that they turn their own parents around. So we know how to reach the outside world. And yet somehow, for some strange reason, with our own children, we try to work with old, outdated models, which don't work. With our own children, when we treat children outside of our immediate family and communities, when we're able to more easily relate to them, as Alter Rebbe says, as Chassidus teaches us, we're more easily able to relate to them as a chelik aleika mimal mamish, to focus on their neshamas, and to not be distracted by their exteriors. We're able to reach, bring them to tremendous heights of inspiration. that transform not only themselves but those around them. In a total reversal of traditional roles. The children leading the parents. And yet, for some strange reason with our own, we keep falling back. We keep resorting to the old, the patch, the scream, the dirty look, the bribes, all those old things which don't work. And when you use things that don't work, they not only don't work, but they do damage. For some reason, with our own children, we get caught up with the fact that it's my kid. It sounds good on paper, it's good for philosophy, this is my kid, and he better do what I say or else. So the Rebbe says that if you see children that are not living on this level of inspiration, that are not living with this type of motivation, don't blame the children. Everyone sits and says, ah, today's children are not like they used to be. Everyone krechtzes. Everyone sighs and says, ah, today's children, I don't know, when my father screamed at me, I listened. My father just gave me a dirty look. That was it. I froze. Today, you can give them dirty looks from today till tomorrow. You could scream at them for half an hour and they say, did you, what? Did you say something? Or they scream back. And everyone says, ah, look how terrible things are. That's if you look at things from the standpoint of Chitzenius. On the exterior, things have gotten much worse. But if you look at the world, if you look at the panemius of the children, the panemius has never been closer to the surface, and it requires so little to bring it out. The Rebbe spoke in the beginning of Tavshin Nun Beis. The Rebbe spoke Simchas Teda on the pasuk Ata Horeisa Ladas Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Ein Eid Mulvadi. That at the time of Matan Teda you were shown that Hashem Hu Elokim Ein Eid Mulvadi, there exists nothing else aside from Him. So the Rebbe said that part of the transition from Golos to Geula is that in Golos there are two worlds. There is Kadesh, there is holiness, and there is Chel. There is that which is not holy. And in fact, as Chassidus teaches, anything which is chayil is klipa, klipas noiga. It is a klipa which has a potential for good, but its natural state is to incline towards evil. And therefore, how do we deal with this klipa to try to elevate it? The way we deal with the world is that we, the Torah tells us, kol ma'asecha l'shem shamayim b'chol drachecha de'eil. In this world, how do you deal with those things that are outside of the realm of Kedusha? Kedusha are those things which proclaim that the only true existence is Hashem. And Chayil are those things from Klipa which deny Hashem's existence. So how do we deal with that? We use all those weekly, mundane things, we use them L'shem Shamayim, for the sake of heaven. That when a person eats, they should eat so that they should have strength to learn, to daven, to do mitzvahs, to serve Hashem. when a person sleeps, when a person is involved in their non-holy activities, the way that they connect it to the divine truth is by doing it l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. So when a person eats in order to have strength to learn, the eating itself is not holy, but he's doing it for a holy cause. There's another level in which we bring the world closer to Hashem's reality, and that's called B'chol Drachecha De'ehu. B'chol Drachecha De'ehu, Chassidus explains that when a person eats, they should not only use it as a means to accomplish something else which is good, but they should also think into the fact, they should become aware that in the food itself there is Gatlichkeit, that in the food itself there's a spark of holiness, and that a person does not just live and get strength from the food, but also but the main thing is the spark of holiness that's in the food. So B'chol Drachecha De'ehu means that not only should you use the physical things for spiritual ends, but one should be able to perceive godliness in the physical things themselves. The Rebbe says that's all in the time of Golos, but in the time of Geula, when it becomes apparent to all the reality that Ein Eid No Vade, then there are no two realms. There's no Kedesh and Chayel. There's Ein Eid Mavade. Nothing, when it becomes open and revealed that nothing else exists except for Hashem, so then there's no such thing as eating for the sake of doing something else, or eating not for the food itself, but for the godliness that's the spark that's concealed in the food. But even Gashmias, everything will reveal and proclaim that Ein Eid Mavade, that nothing else exists except for Hashem. So the Rebbe says, now in Chassidus it's brought, the Rebbe Rashab brings, and it's brought in other places in Chassidus, that the level of relating to the physical world in a way of Ein Eid Mavade, this is the Madrega of the Ovis. That all their limbs were a Merkava, or a chariot to the divine, their Kol Yemeihem, their entire lives. So the Rebbe Rashab explains, by them it wasn't two things. There was a physical world which you had to use for a godly purpose. By them everything was godliness. All they saw was godliness. So the physical world itself was also godly. So the Rebbe says that this Aveda, which will be in the time of the Geula, of relating to everything in the world, as godly, the Rebbe says this Aveda has to begin today. The way we prepare for the Geula is by starting today the Aveda of Ein Eid Mavadik. The Rebbe says clearly, it is no longer enough Kol Masecha L'Shem Shamayim, it is no longer enough Kol Drachecha De'ehu, there has to be the Aveda of Ein Eid Mavadik. And the Rebbe in that same Sira continues and says, and speaks about that the children are called Mashichai. As it says, Al Tigul B'Mashichai, do not touch my anointed ones. So Chazal said, Mashichai Elu Tenekes Shal Beis Rabban. These are the children that study in the house of their teachers. And the Rebbe says, why are children called Mashichai? The Rebbe says, amongst the numerous explanations that exist, we could say that the reason the children are called Mashichai is because this that every Jew has in him, a spark of Mashiach, by the children this is completely revealed. By everyone else it is in a concealed and potential state. By the children, the Mashiach, the spark of their neshama, is revealed. And the Rebbe says, and therefore the children are ready to start living today like in the times of Mashiach. And the Rebbe says, therefore the education of children today has to be in a way that just by looking at them, you see Mashiach. In other words, not only internally, but even externally. Just that every part of them proclaims Mashiach. And the Rebbe continued and said that the children should come and make a l'chaim. And the Rebbe said, and the parents and the educators can also join the children in making l'chaim, and that way they will also get the maila of Mashiach. In other words, the children already have this. And if their parents and their educators would join them, they too could be on this level of Mashiach. What does this mean? And how does this fit? Especially when people say to me, it sounds very good on paper, but my kids are brats. So, how does this fit with the kids that we see every day in our homes and on our streets? In practical terms, what the Rebbe is saying is as follows. Living in Golos, which includes not only the Golos of the Jewish people not being in their own land and not having a Beis HaMikdash and living in a foreign environment, but there's also the Golos of the fact that the neshama itself, within the person, the neshama itself, is enclosed in a body and an animal soul which is hostile to the mission of the neshama, and therefore the neshama itself is in Golos. So one of the characteristics of Golos is that you have to adjust. You have to make certain adjustments. You can live a certain way when you're in the Beis HaMikdash. When you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you have to make adjustments and certain compromises to the realities that you live in. You cannot live up to your ideals because circumstances do not allow for it, and therefore you have to make adjustments and compromises. And in fact, as David HaMelech points out, Vayisarvu Bagayim Vayilmedu Mimaaseya, that part of the process of being in Golos is that certain negative things stick to us by being in Golos. Not only do we end up making compromises, but in fact, to a certain degree, we end up being corrupted. Chassidus explains that even Kivayachal Lamailo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we call Malbusha Yagolti, that the Eivishter says that by the Eivishter descending into the world, the Eivishter, the external aspects of godliness are also adversely affected by the world. Hashem's clothing becomes soiled, kivayachal. Geula, on the other hand, is a situation where the Jewish people are on top of the world and the whole world comes to them for guidance, where we don't make adjustments to the world. The world has to learn to adjust to Torah and Mitzvahs. Torah and Mitzvahs is the reality, and the rest of the world has to learn to adjust to that reality. So in Golos there's a worldly reality, and our Torah and Mitzvahs have to make certain adjustments. So in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when you were sitting and you had your fields and you were able to sit and learn and you were able to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and you're in Golos, you have to make adjustments. You have to work hard and struggle, and you can't live that kind of lifestyle. Geula, on the other hand, is the other way around. We live our ideals. The neshama lives its ideals. The Jewish people live their ideals, and the rest of the world adjusts to that reality. And that's the difference between Kol Maasecha L'Shem Shemayim Kol Drachecha De'ehu and Ein Eid Muvadik. Kol Maasecha L'Shem Shemayim says, listen, you have to eat. You have to eat in order to live. And food is klipa. That's it. That's the fact. Food is klipa. You have to eat. It means you have to deal with this klipa in order to survive. So you have no choice. You have to eat it. So you have to struggle with it. And at least try to have a good purpose, a good motivation for your eating. Or even more, try to make the eating experience itself something which brings you closer to Hashem. Einaid Movadei means, I, as the Rebbe points out in the same sikha, that Einaid Movadei means that a person lives with the reality constantly of Ani loy nivresi elo l'shamash eskeni. I was not created for any other reason except to serve my Maker. And therefore, that is my existence, that is my reality. If anything else around me has to adjust to my reality. It has to adjust to the Torah reality. I live with the Torah. The world, I don't change to suit the world. The world has to change to suit the Torah. Why? Because Higias Man Geulascha. We're living now in a time of Geula, and therefore we're living at the point where when we start living the Torah way, the world...